Well, one of the things that I've been told is that the powers that be have to pre-announce things that they're going to do. And they use the movies to do it, which to me, I think is a bogus way of doing it because everybody thinks the movies are fictional. So if you're going to pre-announce in a movie, that's completely bogus. But if that's true, one of the things that people think they're pre-announcing is that the United States is going to be no longer the United States. It's going to be the former United States.
I don't know that that's accurate, okay? I've heard people say that about the movies and so on, right? And I know that the powers that be have this presumed compulsion at one level to pre-announce, but they're not, in my understanding, they're not really doing that kind of a thing, all right? So what they're putting into movies has less to do with, and when they do a pre-announcement, it's not a, it's not that they've got to leak it out or any of this kind of stuff. What they're actually attempting to do is a form of consciousness science or consciousness magic, if you will, right? Because if you've got a dozen, if you've got a pathway in your brain that has been pre-fired and exists, then it's that much easier for me to get it to exist the next time and get those same neurons to fire and create that same image. And if I can do this repeatedly, then I can get that image to dominate your mind and to be always called back to it. And we can thus manifest that in terms of mind control a little bit easier on a mass level.
That makes sense. That's the whole notion of propaganda, is you keep
Correct.
repeating something until, because the whole pre-announced stuff in a movie just to me isn't a legitimate form of pre-announcing anyways. So why
Yeah.
bother?
Well, the reason that they bother has to do with this idea of how do I want to say it? The energy costs. Okay. So it's easier
For
to.
propaganda, they bother, but not for pre-announcing.
Correct. Exactly. So it's the energy cost, and propaganda is easy to get out there, and then the energy cost of getting the people herded in the direction you want to go is a little easier when you actually have to implement it. And pre-announcement, no, it doesn't really work that way. It's more of their consciousness science and trying to get the things to actually manifest the way they want.
So maybe that's why people say it's the pre-announcement, when really what you're looking at, and this is what you're saying, people have confused the notion of the propaganda with the pre-announcement. They always see that propaganda, and that's a hint of what they're going to be doing, but it's not a pre-announcement. It's watch those propaganda signs because they're actually mentally messing with your brain.
Correct, correct. Because that's and it and if you're sharp and astute enough, and this is part of the powers that be problem. There's so many people like ourselves now out there in the real media discussing all of these kind of things that we disrupt the flow of their propaganda as they're trying to engineer social change, and they're really ticked off about it. And they're really stupid. They don't know. This is their only act. They only know how to do this stuff. They repeat it from war after war after war after war, and the social order in between. And so now they're getting kind of pissed off because their shit is not working anymore. You know, the whole fake news stuff. And you know, starting on Wednesday is the barrage, right? They're going to get the fake news awards come out on Wednesday. And it's going to be a Twitter storm that will go on for days, and everybody's going to enjoy themselves thoroughly with all these new memes that are going to be created and all of this kind of thing. The social media will be inundated, and the powers that be are just dreading this kind of stuff because they have no effective response. And even beyond that, they're not capable of effectively thinking about it. It creates that kind of fuzziness in their head. You know, I just can't really wrap my thoughts around this. What am I to do? And yet it's occurring, and it's getting worse by the day.
Is it because their method has worked for so long that they aren't able to think of something different? Because it's worked for thousands of years.
Correct. Right. But and they are as stupid as they think we are.
Yeah, you're stupid too, buddy. So, okay, one of the other things that you talk about is the screaming s scandals that are going to take away from the bigger picture reality. Okay, so what do you mean by that? And I have some other further questions once you start talking about that.
We'll get some stuff out there that's going to be just captivating because the propaganda exists, the personalities as celebrities have been put out there, and so on. So I'll come up with an example, and I'm not suggesting that this will occur the way I'm stating it, but it would be a good example of the kind of screaming scandals that we would have. And one of them might be, let's try to take the meme of Oprah Winfrey as procuress for Harvey Weinstein, right? And so this meme comes on out, and it starts getting a little traction, such that the powers that be, that you know, she's got money, she's connected, etc. She doesn't want this to occur, so she's going to start pushing back. That'll induce more pushback, and then pretty soon we're in a screaming match relative to the media, where you have all of the, you might at some point have the mainstream media, you know, screaming at their top of their lungs as to what a good person that Oprah Winfrey is. And then at the same time, you would have the alternative media screaming at the top of their lungs, look at all this stuff we found. You know, she pimped out this kid for Harvey. She did this. She did that. She's been, you know, involved with all of these other things. She knew, you know, the whole hashtag she knew meme is indeed part of that. And we're starting to see it on billboards. So it's erupted out of the internet into the main space, right? And the real screaming is going to come when, say, Oprah starts trying to sue the billboard companies for taking the money to put up the billboards that say, you know, hashtag she knew on a picture of her and Harvey and, you know, maybe kids in the background or something like that. And we've had this in the data for prior to 2010. We've had the eruption of all of this into a giant screaming fit within the social order, as the, basically as the powers that be go down, this will be one of the sideshows that we're going to be seeing.
Well, what about QAnon? Is this a kind of a sideshow, or is your data showing that it's helping?
Okay, we can't use the data around that because there's so much conscious expression on it. All right. And so anything I would get would necessarily be polluted on whether or not people thought that it was legit and this kind of thing. That's why my data system is no good for sussing out past actions or anything. All it does is look at prescient language relative to an emotional level. But my emotional engine picks up all of the stuff on the QAnon. And we've gotten all different kinds of opinions on it. So you get people like Dr. Farrell, and he's saying that it's a prefab, that it's some kind of a marketing scheme. Yet even in his analysis with Daniel in this video they did the other, Daniel List from Dark Journalist, when they did an analysis, you'll note if you watch his whole show that every single point of cognitive analysis that Farrell does points to QAnon being legit, adding value, predicting things that come true and down to the point of the time, and all of these kind of things. It's adding value. It's all legit. And then on the other side of it, all of his personal conclusions about this are that it's a marketing scheme, it's some kind of an op, and that he has a feeling it's not to be trusted. And you'll notice that when he's actually talking in terms of his feelings, it's all negative about this. But when he's talking in terms of his actual analysis of what he was able to read and actually extract out of all these texts, it was all positive. And so my thinking is that we have a legitimate revolutionary poet, okay? And that this revolutionary poet, if you really want to get a sense of it, go read Robert Heinlein's story, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And I think Q is the revolutionary poet role. And I also think it's been hijacked, it's been overwhelmed and subsumed, and that's the way that the powers that be are trying to deal with it. Which
yeah, because
is to,
there was a part, keep with your thought, there was a part where Q wasn't Q and they were putting out different stuff and then that had to be taken down. He said, that wasn't me.
Right, right. And so he's got to defend himself, and that's just what the revolutionary poet did in this story. And the role of the revolutionary poet in all revolutions is multifaceted, a single point of a collective thought, sort of like a Dan Rather kind of a thing during a time of trial, coming out, telling everybody what's going on, but also sending out clues to the cognoscenti as to what's coming up next so that they can watch and participate, as well as getting people who are not part of the cognoscenti, that don't really know what's going on, to go out and do their own research, get off their butts and be motivated and take action.
Does it really have to be somebody in the White House? It could be somebody as educated as you or somebody who's really been doing research who could be Q.
No,
It can
No,
be.
I would
Okay.
dispute that because of some of the specifics involved, because I've gone through all of the material in
Excellent.
real time from when it first started, which was October 31, Halloween, because I'm aware of the symbology that's involved and aware of the type of language that's involved, which is this sort of military intelligence speak that's involved there, all kinds of codes and other things that are not distractions, they're not random, they're not obscuring pieces of fluff. They all have a point and a purpose. And so no, I don't buy that. I don't
And it
buy it's an
can't just
AI.
be a it can't just be a military
No, it can't be an outsider, and I can tell you why, okay, very specifically why. And that is because there have been photographic drops that were could not have been replicated by any other means than by being at that place at that time stated. So you know how you would get and I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to get that far down, but if you go and look at some of the photographic drops, it is the functional equivalent, even though there's no person there or anything, it's the functional equivalent of taking a picture of yourself with a particular date or newspaper or something like that to prove that you were there at that time holding that newspaper. All right. And so there have been a couple of them. I can point you at, for instance, the pen. Okay, the pen photograph and a few of these others. They could only have been taken at that point, at that time. They could not have been done by an outsider. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone extremely high up or even visible at that level, right? It could be, for instance, a very astute agent that was working in the custodial staff could have accomplished that, the photograph, right? And so that maybe the individual that's involved is a mastermind and has agents that do these things for him to provide the evidence that this whole thing is cohesive and in fact has evidence behind it. And then comes on out and he discusses these things that occur before they occur with such specificity that you know that the mind that wrote that is in the loop of these events as they are being planned, discussed, etc. And then we see the events occur, and it is as was stated. So it's awful hard to say that it's negative or that it's not valid. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, gets people like Dr. Farrell to say, yeah, it's valid. There was, you know, value here was what value was offered. They think of it as like a loss leader. Okay, there and the problem is, you know, they've been burned by all the conspiracy stuff. The blue chickens have gotten out there and caused all kinds of problems for all sorts of people. And so it's natural that they want to just have a hands off, oh, it's probably a yet another op, it's probably fake, and so on. But, you know, we got to be careful with that attitude within ourselves as well, because it'll will obscure real things from happening that we wouldn't otherwise see.
Well, the
So
problem is that we're so open-minded, right? And so they could take advantage of our open-mindedness, but we also have to, so we have to be critical thinkers while being
there you go.
open-minded. Yeah.
I'm a critical thinker. I
That's
don't ever have
important.
an open mind. Okay, I'm a critical mind, and people
Okay.
mistake that
But
frequently, right?
you have a crit you're open mind you're open-minded in the sense that you'll critically think about things that other people won't even mentally go to.
Okay, and I would buy that, right? And we do have to be very critical thinkers. What I find really interesting here is that the disparaging term shadow work was put on the activity that QAnon makes people go to. Okay, so part of the function of the poet for those that are not initiated in what's going on and they see there's some kind of activity, there's a little bit of jitteriness in their local social milieu, and they look around and they say, well, what's this little placard of this poem on this particular building? And they go read the poem. And it doesn't really make sense to them, but they see all these other people reading the poems, making notes and taking notes about all of this, taking photos of it and running off. And so they go and look at it. And they don't know what's happening here. So they ask somebody, and that's their first step in self-education.
Oh,
So part
yeah,
of
that's
this
a
is
good
to,
thing.
okay, so we're red pilling the whole planet just by our own excitement about it, right? So even though they may hijack it at points and try and dilute it at points, the red pill effect still is continuing because we're so excited about all of this, because there is actual stuff going on. And this is why I find the disingenuousness, the lack of care and the lack of professionalism, if you will. I mean, you can't really use that term for a revolutionary, right? But the lack of care that David Wilcock and Corey Good and Jay Whitener and all these people at Gaia have, because David Wilcock is out there saying, you know, 10,000 sealed indictments. And, you know, and on Christmas, he said, we have proof of 4,200 and so on and so on. And then he finds it, we all, you know, if you're going, look, it's bogus, dude. You know, these are just regular civil cases. You know, they're restraining orders, all this kind of stuff. So you're getting all people hyped up on this idea that there's going to be a mass arrest. And I agree that they're selling hopium, right? That they're trying to get you addicted to this hope rush. And so I wonder, in fact, I don't wonder, I can say explicitly that David Wilcock and Corey Good are, and whether they are paid for it or not, are entirely disinfo agents. They're manipulative, they're sociopaths in that they're trying to manipulate the emotional response out of their audience, and seemingly very disrespectfully. They don't seemingly give a rat's ass that they're going to crash it 3 months from now when there aren't mass arrests.
Well, yeah,
you know?
Well, the problem is when you're selling hope and the hope's not real, that's that takes away people's hope. And maybe that's
right,
part of the disinformation problem. That's why it bothers
exactly.
me so much. You know,
that's why I get so pissed.
Yeah,
at
I know.
Yeah.
And the Gaia, I've heard so much chatter behind the scenes about Gaia being a whole. That's why when there's people that keep going on board who are good people, it bothers me.
Same here. And that's why when I know people are involved there, I make my concerns known and point them at a few things that they may not be aware of, such as the ownership chain of the company and so on. But once they're enmeshed in it, apparently they don't get out very easily.
Yeah, there's something weird. And I heard that there's like a back room that you can't go into. It's a controlled. Heard all sorts of things about Gaia being.
And I don't know anything about the internals. I try and stay away from what
sure.
I would think of as the personality aspect of it, right? If they want to come and fight with me personally, that would be great. Then I can discuss it as I'm beating up on them. But in the meantime, you know, those are details I don't need to concern myself with. But I do know that something really does stink. It doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah. I've heard the CIA is involved with them, but I don't know if it's true or not.
That I wouldn't doubt a bit because of the ownership chain. Okay. If you go and look at who owns what there and so on, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. And then, you know, the CIA are really, they're interesting fellows. I've actually known a couple. My dad didn't think very highly of them because of all the problems they caused in the Vietnam War. And he had his whole lot of opinions about that fiasco. He did have one friend out of the CIA that I met repeatedly that was a good, solid fellow. And I think he just kind of like left the CIA, all right? And that is to say, he just didn't show up for work one day and created a new life for himself. And that's the way you leave. You don't get, you know, you don't get a retirement package and out the door kind of thing. But in any event, so yeah, the disinfo part is really disruptive. It's something we have to go through. It hardens us. We're hermetic creatures, right? The more abuse we take at a low level, it's hormesis, the stronger it makes us, you know, that which does not kill you makes you Nietzsche, you know, so anyway, it does help at some level, but it's kind of a pain to go through. Now, if we contrast this, the Blue Avians, Gaia, David Wilcock, fantasy world is what's going on, contrasted to QAnon, you know, QAnon's not selling hope. Not out there saying there's, you know, X number of thousand of indictments and sit on your ass and wait and the good guys are going to come and save you. He doesn't say any of that. He says it's dangerous. Shit's going down. Watch out. We could get screwed here. We got to be careful.
We could get screwed here has to be part of the whole equation and why you need to be involved.
Right. And basically, so he's actually going, he's an anti-hopium, right? He's a red pill. And the part of the red pill is danger exists. It's a tough world out there. You got to protect your children, you know, all of these kind of things, right? And so, you know, I'm old enough that I've encountered that in my life.
Yeah.
It is indeed a dangerous planet out there, and you got to protect things.
Things can happen.
Got to know where your towel is.
When you're a teenager,
right?
You can drive the car however you want, but you can get into an accident. That's what
right,
I'm trying
right.
to teach my daughter.
Right. And universe will teach you this if you live
Yeah,
long
you will.
enough,
Yeah, if you live long enough, she will learn that.
right. So that's basically where we're at. Now, I think QAnon is real. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of pollution around it. It's a very difficult task to maintain that level of purity. The language involved is not a representation, in my opinion, of a group typing. All right. And there may be a group around this, but there is one individual that's the typist that is actually putting the thoughts out there. I don't think it's AI. Or any of these other proffered excuses. And I think that person has demonstrated that they're tight and as connected with all of the graphic drops they've done. Now, think about this, okay? Here, just one example. Washington crossing the Delaware. The QAnon graphic drop the day before or a couple of days before, we get the same thing on the official DOD Twitter account. And then we start, see, I mean, these are coincidences that.
But how do we make sure, you know, me being the, you know, we have to be careful and there's danger. How do we make sure someone doesn't drag us along, get you to trust them, and then throw us into the wrong area when it's important?
Don't trust them.
I mean, we can take that knowledge.
That's simple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's as simple as that.
And that's what I'm saying about this. We have to take it for what it is.
You have to take it as a jumping off point and do your own research. So Q would agree with me when I make the statement that in this rough world out there, there's only one person in this whole planet you can trust, and that's yourself. Now, you can trust yourself, but if you don't manage yourself well, you'll be lazy and you won't go do the investigation and you'll miss out on all of the stuff that investigation and research would have done, including informing your mind, opening your awareness, making you more of a participant, et cetera, et cetera. And it will be because you were lazy and you didn't manage yourself well as your trusted employee, right? And so as a boss, I'm really terrible. I make my trusted employee go out there and do that damn research, you know, hour after hour after hour, reading, correlating, making notes, and so on when it's required. But over time, you get some level of skill at it. So you run right into it and say, oh, no, this is bullshit. I needn't go any further down Wilcox rabbit hole because he has repeatedly done the same pattern, and I can see the pattern emerging again. And here's that very first top level of fallacy.
You lose your reputation and your credibility, and that's why it's so important that isn't what you do.
Correct. That's not your goal.
Exactly. Right. You can get sucked into it, and you can make a bad report,
sure.
But it's not because you didn't know. You tried, but then as soon as you know, you can correct it.
Exactly. You'd say, oh, no, I was wrong about that conclusion. And instead it was this way, right? It shouldn't have been interpreted as delta force. It should have been interpreted as delta between these two times, the distance between these two times.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Just as an example. Yeah. And so you have to trust your employee to get some of it wrong and to acknowledge that there's no damage. There's no harm in that getting it wrong because you can always correct that.
And it's important that people are allowed to make mistakes because mistakes is part of being able to have confidence in what you're doing. Otherwise, you don't have any fear and you can't do anything. But let's move on to something really cool, anti-aging.
Sure.
It's it's all over your report. What are you learning about the anti? Because you know, we've talked about C60, and that went crazy after we went talked about C60.
Yeah.
What is the report talking about?
There's it's one of these things where it's bifurcated. So we're participating in one level of it because the data sets are talking about the benefits of such things as the hydrogen therapy and the C60 and these
and
kind
of things. Hydrogen enhances the C60 is what we're learning.
Oh, tremendously. Yeah. In fact, I've got a hydrogen water making machine now.
That's what I was sponsoring.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep going because it's hydrogen enriched. And I didn't know at first. I heard it was pH balance. I'm like, they're showing me all this stuff. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you guys, this is hydrogen enriched. That's even cooler than the pH balance. But keep going.
If you don't care about any of the rest of it, you just
anymore,
care about
yeah.
the hydrogen. Right. And it really works. I mean, it's tremendous. It gives you extra energy. You know, I know people that are drinking hydrogen water instead of caffeine now. And because they get such an energy boost, they don't worry about it anymore, right? And I'm getting close there myself. But so there's that level of things, right? But there is still, within the data sets, this really intriguing thing that I don't see much in the way of a current manifestation yet. And the way the data is talking about it, we probably won't see it for a little bit. But it's all about energy. Okay. It's about energetic forms of cellular repair and this sort of thing. And so, okay. So now we've got a big change in the language that's coming out of the allopathic community, the doctors. All right. 10 years ago, the doctor community woke up to the idea that, oh, look, even mental illness can be traced back to our guts. That, oh, geez, our brains don't make anywhere near as much serotonin as our intestines, right? And so our intestines are really in charge of how we feel, not our brains. And so they were thinking, oh, geez, not only serotonin, but all these hormones, all these other things are all coming out of our intestinal area. Maybe we'd better pay attention to our gut biome. You know, get all of our little critters happy in there to produce these chemicals for us and so on. Because if it turns out that if you get one bacteria wrong in a particular way, you don't get the serotonin you need and you get depressed. So we started paying attention to gut biome. Now, 10 years later, that's not even really through all of the allopathic system yet. It'll take, most of the doctors will have to die off before that becomes the standard way of thinking about the body and so on, right?
Well,
I know. Well, they won't change their mind. They were trained to.
Yeah,
it, you know?
Somebody.
And hey, I'll blame you. I'll blame you because of the profession you're in. You train them too well. It's ingrained. You know?
A comment. A listener said, you know, that inventions happen or progress happens each generation as each generation dies. And I'm like, God, that is so profound and true. That's too bad.
I know. It's like kind of sad. Yeah. It's too bad. Anyway, so the new one, though, so now we have a new paradigm emerging, and that paradigm is saying that what we used, from a doctor's viewpoint, from an allopath's viewpoint, they're basically saying what we used to consider disease, we now know is an imbalance in our gut biome. And so if we eliminate those of all of the diseases that are left, including those things that we used to think were genetic, or a lot of those things that we used to think were genetic, now we're discovering are in fact a buildup of the free radicals and other damaging waste toxins from oxidative stress. And so now we've got another big paradigm changing here, where they're saying, and you'll start seeing this in more and more allopathic literature, 90% of all diseases are caused by oxidative stress. And so that'll be the meme that will come out over these next 10 years and be
That's
repeated forever.
That's why C60 is so amazing, because it takes care of all
Correct.
That.
Correct. And that's why with the hydrogen,
the hydrogen
boost,
yeah.
You get all of these. Yeah. And all of these other effects. And so we have that coming out now. So we have a bubbling up from below, so to speak, the what we might think of as the peasant way of doing things, right? Which would be the sucking down of the carbon 60 with some hydrogen water. And we'll think of that as the peasant way of doing things because a peasant could do it.
Because we can afford it.
And, you know, correct. And it's also, it's coming from the grassroots up. Now, we have another side of this, though, that goes to the same 90% of all problems being gut biome and 90% of all the diseases we have that are not part of that as being the result of oxidative stress. That's coming from the energy viewpoint. Okay, they're going to start coming at it from an energy viewpoint. So they're going to start coming up with energy devices that will try and flush the oxidative stress result from your body. And that's how they'll start treating diseases. So the idea won't be to reduce inflammation in your sore tissues. The idea will be to treat it with an energetic device that causes the things that are actually causing that inflammation, the oxidative stress problems at a cellular level, to enter into the lymph system and then be flushed out. And so we're going to see this combination of things. And so you'll start seeing the word lymphatic a lot as we discuss the lymph system. And you'll start seeing it from the energy viewpoint of an energetic resonance kind of vibration kind of thing that is there to clean out the lymph system. And so that'll be the next meme over these next few years as we get further and further into this anti-aging thing. And curiously, that'll be coming from the Air Force. If you want to trace it back, the data suggests that the United States Air Force is going to release, be involved in a study, be involved with a corporation perhaps that produces a device. And so we're going to get towards the idea of one of those like the sarcophagi things in the Stargate movie, right, where you'd lie in this big box and you'd get healed. And the idea that you'd lie in this big box, you'd be given some level of radiation, that it's going to cause a reaction in the lymph system, and then you'll get up and rush like mad to pee out all the toxins. And basically, the data sets that we've got suggest that the idea in there is going to be to activate the cells at a mitochondrial level and to cause the same kind of reaction in your body that the C60 and the hydrogen are also producing in the way that they scrub out all of the oxidative toxins.
Do you think that possibly, realistically, long term, that it'll be a combination of all those things that we'll end up doing?
Oh, certainly. Oh, yeah. I'm quite certain of that, because I wouldn't want to necessarily. I've got a Skinar here, which is a Russian energy device. I've got a torn muscle from my dog walk this morning, and I'll use it on that, and I'll be healed in a couple of hours. There won't be inflammation, and it'll be fine, right?
Because it's a speedier process. But the C60 and the hydrogen, like, everybody's going to be drinking hydrogen water. The C60, carbon 60 is going to be additives in our food. I mean, I think it's going to be
everywhere they can shove it into.
Yeah. Yep. And then when you have specific issues, then you'll do the energy device.
Right. And so we'll always be getting smaller and smaller and smaller range of area that we actually have to intrude on and be allopathic about, so to speak. You know, there'll always be broken bones and that sort of thing. But so the nature of doctors and all of this is changing. We see that around us already.
Yeah.
You know, we see the officially approved new kinds of alternative healing modalities. Everything from massage, you know, meditation, yoga, all of these things are now officially approved as we enter in more into what I'm describing as, you know, sci-fi world. But also within there is the concept of we're moving more into consciousness science, figuring out exactly what we are and how to do things in a better way.
Well, and figuring out how we actually work.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Doing things on, it's just good science. It's not, it's just we're getting smarter and figuring out how we actually work.
Well, also there's been a shift, and we've been pushed out of a reductionist frame of mind. So the introduction, and it was coincident with that, we've always had a certain percentage of the population in, say, the 50s or 40s, 50s, and so on, that were the true fringe level, that were the holistic kind of guys, right? Took a holistic approach. But sometime in the 60s, probably related to the introduction of psychedelic drugs into the social order in a large way, we've had a shift that is visible in the linguistics towards a more holistic thinking approach that has been denigrated by the powers that be, by the AMA and all of these kind of people, because it was a threat to them, but it wasn't really debunked.
Well, they
couldn't debunk it. You know,
that
shown
was the
to
thing.
Be.
Yeah.
Correct, because it's valid. Yeah, it's valid, right. So I had a guy, bitch at me about carbon 60. And so I sent him back a reply saying, you know, I'm not your Google. Go do your own damn research and prove me wrong. You know, if you think it's snake oil, show me, you know, the snake we're getting this from and why it is snake oil, right? And you can otherwise, and of course, he just went away because
you can't
do that because C60.
Well, because hydrogen,
I know.
There are so many tests now that hydrogen is the real deal. I mean, in Japan is so far ahead of everybody. And they have all this hydrogen tests, university studies and everything else. Every hospital in Japan uses this. And C60 is a hydrogen sponge. And so hydrogen.
Container, a carrier.
And so it's a big deal. Yeah, so you can't debunk it. There are some, you know, I had, remember Ken the scientist, because he doesn't really want to, he said,
Sure. No, I know Ken. I've known him for a long time.
Well, anyways, I had somebody talk about how C60 wasn't great either. And he sent me a long thing on why there are some things that come out, you know, not as good. And things are like the bottle. If the oil gets rancid because it's exposed to light, then it can have.
Sure.
I mean, there's all these things that can happen. But if the carbon 60 is not affected, like they don't damage it somehow, then it's fine. I mean, there's no problem. It's like taking vitamin C. It's great for you.
Oh, only
Yes,
172 times
exactly.
better. Right.
Oh, I'm so
Right,
good,
right.
glad that you introduced me to that stuff. My mother's feeling so much better. I'm really happy about it.
It's neat stuff. I mean, I damaged my muscle here today because my 8-year-old dog decided that we were going to go do the full 2.25 mile walk today, and she was little Miss Tractor Legs just pulling me the whole way. And it's like, no, damn dogs, there's two of you on
And they're
that
supposed to be not doing well. Yeah, I know. I know.
Right,
Okay,
right, right.
go ahead.
You know, and she's there's positive results I'm seeing
Yeah.
from the stuff. So yeah, you can call it what you want,
And
but
I've
you know,
had some
prove me
people
wrong.
email me talking about how much it's helped their animals, how much it helped their family members. I've had so many
Oh
nice things. Yeah, so that's really cool.
yeah.
But let's talk about a couple
Yeah.
more areas before we end this thing.
Sure.
The space business. You know, I had the
Yeah.
president of Tau Zero Foundation on, and she was telling me that they're really hardcore going into space. And they can't share with you so many other stuff. You know, Rhonda Stevenson, she can't share with me what the woo stuff and everything. There's a lot more going on in the background. But she did tell me that they're able to get to Mars in 4 days, and they just can't
Wouldn't
stop
doubt
right
it.
now. I mean,
Wouldn't
because
doubt
it
it.
goes so fast, they just can't. And
Right.
they're using the electric universe theories and all these things. I mean, they're
Sure.
using all this stuff. Now nobody's coming forward. And now she didn't tell me that the electric universe stuff flat out. I just deduced it from some of the comments she made, right? So what are you hearing about the whole space industry? Because this is, are we going to actually in 10 years actually go beyond Earth in a meaningful way?
I don't think it'll take that long. The data sets that we've got, I'm looking for a temporal marker. I'm looking for a specific thing that I called a space coin. Okay, it's going to be the first in a huge level of components to the entire crypto space. So as the data sets are suggesting that as the crypto universe evolves, we're going to get a nice big new chunk that will be a whole bunch of coins that are devoted to business in space in one way or another. And I'm looking for temporal markers and specific linguistics around the first of these to appear. And it's not Nexus and it's not the Sky Coin or any of these that exist at the moment because the linguistics are not there. I suspect that these linguistics will show up sometime in 2018, and I have some indications as to when that might occur. So I'll keep an eye out for it. But the overall thrust of it all is that the long-range data that goes out into 2022 in that area is showing that perhaps by 2022, 15 to 20% of industrialized space-going nations' economic activity will be space-focused. So right now we're You know, in a sense, we're perhaps 20% of our economy is space focused, but a lot of it's hidden. Okay,
Yeah, I
by
mean, but this time you're showing that the masses will be involved and know about
correct,
it.
correct, correct, and jobs, and you know, hiring, and a boom period, and in many ways, the language is similar to what you see with gold rushes, with the land rush in the Oklahoma land rush. If you go back and see, I went back and got all of these old things way back when. And put them in through my data set. So I have the newspaper articles about the with the language associated with the land rushes out through the Oklahoma Territory. And we're getting into the same kind of language, the same level of hyperbole, the same level of excitement and emotionalism, and it's all about space. And so it's going to be and then also in a sort of a backhanded way, validating that, I get all kinds of language about government paranoia, about all these people getting out there into space and seeing the stuff the government doesn't want them to, and doing stuff, and they know that the cat's almost out of the bag. Once we start with commercial operations in space, where where you're taking up chefs, for instance. You know, even if you put a chef under an NDA, when he gets drunk, he's going to talk about those damn UFOs he was seeing out there while he was chopping celery. You
It was
know?
like when all the soldiers came back from the war, they're telling everybody what was going on.
Yeah. That was really what
Exactly.
had it with Vietnam. Because we got real-time reports on a daily
That's why
basis, and you'd see
the
the.
draft is so important. Now we got professional soldiers and we
Correct.
don't get to hear all that like we used to.
Right. And so we'll go along with anything because, you know, we're coordinated, we're
That's
compartmentalized,
exactly
we're
the situation
conjoined,
now.
and
So
we're
once the masses start
separated.
going out, it'll be like
Yeah.
the soldiers being in the draft. That will be amazing. That will be
Correct.
really cool.
And that's why we have, and what's going to bust it open is cryptocurrencies, okay? Because A, once you're out in space, you don't go to the local commissary in the space station and hand over a dime or coins to get a pop, all right? You're going to use cryptocurrencies at that level of exchange in space. And B, the cryptocurrencies are uncontrollable by government, cannot be shut off. You cannot control the blockchain. You can kill the internet, but the government can't kill the internet and still exist. The minute the government kills the internet here in the United States, the federal government is dead, as are all the state governments, because we just won't pay any attention to them anymore and they won't have any authority or ability to do anything whatsoever. Nor will they even be able to coordinate with themselves. And so you can't kill cryptocurrencies and you cannot control the blockchain. Technically, it's simply not feasible to try and really control it at that level by a government.
Although can't they make you register? They can do some
No,
registration,
that
can't they?
okay, that's legislation and that's what they may want to occur, but does that mean that people are going to comply?
I think
So
there's still that big
right
question
now,
about the
look at the huge.
taxes, like how they're gonna do that.
I was just going to bring that up. I was just going to bring that up. So we'll know here in And or maybe we won't really know, but the government will know as of let's say end of April this year as to how much control they've really lost. And I say that because government's in a funny position. They're claiming they can do all this information screening and get information and stuff out of the blockchain info, which is all bogus. And IRS has just been devastated by the hurricanes in Puerto Rico. All their data processing was done there, right? And so, or a lot of it. And so, IRS is in a real interesting situation. The government demands that you report all this activity on your crypto trading. Now, I don't trade
Sure.
cryptos. It's just I don't have that capacity in me, right? But I know a lot of people that do, and they've got hundreds, maybe even thousands of trades they've done over this past year. And are they going to report them? I don't know.
It'll be really
And that's
interesting
really.
because if they don't think that they can get the tax, because the government was shut down overnight if they can't get their tax money, right?
No, not true, not true. We no longer in the United States, I hate to tell you this, but they haven't had to depend on taxes
Oh,
since
really?
Reagan's
Elaborate
time.
on that, because that's really cool.
Truly, that we don't, okay, we don't fund government anymore. The government funds itself on printing money. So they do not need us. We're in that hyperinflationary period of time. They need not collect a single dime in taxes, and they wouldn't alter
Well,
their
once
spending
adopted,
at
like, go
all
ahead. I don't want to
because
interrupt you because people want to
we're
hear you.
I would say we're contributing. If you actually look at the announced official budgets and stuff, taxes are about 25% of the government's spending. But we know that those official government
Well,
budgets and
that's
stuff are
true.
bullshit. We know that there's trillions upon trillions on the other side of that that is going to all these special access projects, all the black ops world, all the holes in the ground that they're reverse engineering all of this stuff, and that's their real budget. And so if you look at taxes relative to what we can estimate about the hidden budget, we're about 2%. So
Yeah, but
2%.
we sell drugs, we do all sorts of crap that funds all
Sure.
that stuff.
Right.
But at some
But
point, if you clean
government
up all
prints,
that, go ahead.
no, they print money more than any of that. All of that is really more of like a mind control kind of a
Huh, I
thing
gotta think about
than
that now. That's an interesting. Now I gotta put a whole framework
yeah.
around that
Think
thought.
about it. If you actually look at And if you actually look at the amount of money that Catherine Fitz and these others have proven doesn't exist anymore, that was taken and stolen, and then compare it to our actual tax revenue, we're only about 2% of the amount of money that was stolen. So you're not financing our black ops, the secret space program, and all of that. You're not financing it by selling drugs. Yeah, there's a lot of money in drugs, but mainly there's lots of that money is just sitting in big warehouses in Mexico and this kind of thing, and the rats are eating the actual currencies. It's not being funneled into these huge black areas. What is going on is that anytime they need money, the Federal Reserve prints it off books. They take a derivative note nominally in exchange and then print them the 2 trillion that they need and they go on out and spend it because we're stupid and we accept it.
Well, how long can that go on? Where
Not very
there's
much longer.
so much more money than we're actually know exists.
That's why we're in hyperinflation in this particular kind of way, is because it's out
That
there
makes
and it's
sense.
slowly starting to come back into the system. At the moment, cryptocurrencies are absorbing it. As I say, it's about 2%, our taxes are about 2% of that volume.
Well, see, I've
So.
been thinking about that for a while, that there's money out there that we just don't even track. But not to the extent that you're saying right now. That even puts it into hyperdrive. And that puts a whole nother, because I thought, well, how long can the government just play these games? Nobody even knows how much the actual money supply is because they can print it, it's on black. Nobody knows.
Right. But we're now in a different world, okay? Because say that we got to a point where we gave you the authority to take a giant claw and hold it to government's throat. And we got all of government together, and you got them all in this giant mechanical claw, and you're going to force them to tell the truth and stuff. And you just chose the economic system to begin with. They could say, oh, yes, don't worry about it. We know we've done all this evil stuff and so on. But look, we've actually got these floaty things out there in space, and we're going to send four or five of those floaty things over there to go and snag this asteroid that's 100% gold and bring it down, and then we can have gold-backed money. So see, we're no longer in the world where scarcity equals value.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So even if
So is that going to affect silver?
correct, it'll well, silver's different though, okay? Silver's really
So silver's still going to go up.
because of the nature of silver and electricity. Now they've discovered something about gold and photons that's really cool and may make gold as interesting an industrial material as is silver. But I'm of the opinion that silver has got a far greater future within the electronic world than it ever had in monetary. And that we're going to start seeing a lot of that. I'm still waiting for the appearance of this particular coin that's going to act as a temporal marker, and it'll be relating to a big increase in the ability of solar panels and an increased need for silver in these solar panels. So we get the idea, we've had in the past the idea that maybe you could paint solar panels on a building, come up with some kind of photoreactive paint and that sort of thing. And our data isn't suggesting that we go there necessarily, but is suggesting that there's a potential for, if you will, an encapsulated photovoltaic, such that the idea is that you would have all these little millions of beads, and these beads would be a little tiny micro photovoltaic, a nano photovoltaic, so to speak, in a resin. Bead, a little tiny thing like maybe the size of a grain of rice or half a grain of rice. And the idea is that you'd be able to mix this into cement or whatever, smear it on the surface of your building and plug some wires into it, and you've got instant sun-reactive building surface. And that's just about as far as we get a description in the tech in of the technology and the data sets. But the idea is that we're looking at these kind of things coming out as we get into this revolutionary period that goes from 2018 through 2019 into 2020. And it's actually part of a known innovation cycle. We have these revolutionary innovation cycles that can be plotted that say, oh, look at all these inventions that came about between 1890 and 1930, radio, automobiles, all of these different kinds of things. And then there's this lull. And then there's another one in the 60s. And then there's this lull. And another one in the 90s and 2000s. Then another lull. And now we're into the end of the 2000 teens. And we'll get into another expanding creativity revolution kind of thing, new technologies and so forth coming out, just because of the way that we have this social order working. However, we've had one of these things suppressed by the powers that be over this past cycle. It was very much dampened down. So I think we're going to get a spring back effect and get an even more revolutionary outbursting of new kinds of technology because it was suppressed, because the money system was such that we didn't get effective invention seed money out there where we need it and so on. But it's busting out
Well,
anyway.
we've been suppressed for the last few 3 decades, maybe in this country.
Easily.
Yeah, with the medical, everything. We're behind now in a lot of fields because of that. And then that sets the whole world behind because we have so much here, which is too bad. But I feel it bursting out too.
And I think China is going to be back in the center stage as the global dominating economy from now on. They were the dominant economy for 6,000 years, and then there was an aberration, and America took over. But here's our relative situation, right? There's 300 million people in China that are living on $2, $3 a day. But this is tremendous news. because less than 20 years ago, it was almost 1 billion people. And so they've been able to do this in a single generation. Yeah, right. But now here we are in the United States, where the reverse has happened to us, where so much more of our population is desperately poor than had been when we were at our heyday, let's say the 50s and 60s, right, when we owned the world and the ugly American came about. And so we have to recover the way that Japan and Germany recovered at the time we bombed the absolute crap out of them in World War II. China, on the other hand, doesn't have to deal with any of this stuff. They've got their own internal things going on, but in the main, they're chunking right along to reducing that 300 million people down even further and bringing more and more and more of their social order into the new age. Now, what we're going to have to do is to play catch up, but Americans are good at that.
Yeah, well, we are going to be better because China's still a communist country. I mean, like what they're doing to the Falun Gong practitioners, and I mean, they got a mess going on there.
They're authoritarian,
you know? But they still, because they have labor camps and they have all these things going on that people don't know about it because they're really closed off, and that's going to hold them back. They have to unleash the creativity of their people, and they're not going to be able to do that with their having only a few people being able to make decisions. But they do have their act together.
I dispute that.
You really see?
Okay, they have their.
I don't know.
And see, here's the thing. We're in that same situation.
Well, we are.
We've got
actually.
Labor camps.
I got to be
we
realistic.
We have huge, horrific labor camps, only we call them private prisons.
Oh, I see.
Right? I mean, look, Bill Clinton actually did things that caused otherwise
I agree with
unoffending
you.
Black kids in inner cities to get arrested so that they would fill up these private prisons in order to the quotas be made.
Now, we aren't harvesting people live for their organs here yet.
Be careful. Be careful. We don't want to discuss that.
Oh, you think it's happening?
Well, I know it's occurring. Yeah. I just have to say MS-13.
Okay. Well.
And look at how many people go missing in national parks.
Yeah.
It's not space aliens.
We are. Yeah. We can't pretend that we have some great thing. I do know that the hospitals all participate in it. In China, they're finding with the Falun Gong people because they're the healthiest people. And so it was, we'd have to be delusional not to know that we're doing things too. I know that. But okay, now getting on the fact that they're hiding stuff from us, when will we learn about the real origins of human history? Are you seeing any of that? I think I saw some language in that. And to me, that is absolutely fascinating because I know there's a lot of things people found from those big skeletons to things in Antarctica, all over the place.
Yeah, and I just did 5 hours on Antarctica with Al at Forum Borealis that'll be coming out in a few weeks.
Wow.
And we really went into a five-hour interview on Saturday.
Now, what channel is that going to be
was
on
exhausted.
So that people can go and watch it?
It was Forum Borealis. And he has a site on YouTube. He's told me it'd be about 3 weeks before it's released to the general public. But see, we did get tons and tons and tons of data. And again, we're back. I'm looking for particular temporal markers, and then I'll be able to tell you when we would reach the state where we could say that even 5% of the U.S. population knew about real origins of humanity. Okay, right now we're all guessing, and even when we get the real information, we'll have to assume that it's not real just as we investigated. And we'll have to assume that it's not everything just because we've been lied to so long, and it'll probably be really a tough pill to swallow in the red pill kind of a sense, right, as to what we are. I think I have some hints as to what it is, but let me say that the data sets have an interesting bulge that in the long-term data appears in 2019 in the spring Northern Hemisphere that relates to this subject. Now, that interesting bulge is connected to a couple of temporal markers that I expect to occur in 2018. Should they occur, I'll let you know. You know, I'll say, hey, look, this occurred and we're on our path towards this temporal bulge in 2019 that may be indicating a big outpouring of real information from Antarctica, not necessarily from officialdom per se in a sanctioned fashion, but as officialdom breaks down from all the people that then are released from fear about talking about this stuff. So in other words, if you're under an NDA from Homeland Security and Homeland Security as an agency goes away, hey, so does your NDA. And you might start talking about a lot of stuff that you saw when you were working as a cook in Antarctica.
I'm so excited to learn about what our real origins are, because it's so clear. I mean, all these pyramids, it's so obvious they're not what they claim they are.
Yeah.
It'll be really exciting to learn what this is. And as we learn more about how we work and energy and the C60 and all stuff, it's like, wow, we could have been really advanced in the past. And what did they do? And why are we like what we are? And the electric universe has some ideas too, based on what science is showing.
Yeah, and it's going to be quite fascinating. We have a number of paradigms we have to bust out of. A lot of these paradigms are inhibiting the alternative media and the woo-woo guys. Not only are we bitching and moaning at each other and having all of this drama around it, but many of our conceptual paradigms are wrong. And when we discover them, even people that think that they're woke and enlightened are going to be, whoa, wait a second, that can't be. You know, this can't happen that way because of something that they have internal to them. So the easiest encapsulation of what we're likely to find can be summed up relatively briefly. And it could be described as humanity was created as a slave race by parties unknown. Those parties were at war with someone else. Those parties left Earth and they're no longer around. Now, there's some corollaries to this, all right? And that, so that's our basic history. That's probably our basic history at some point, as a war drove off the people that made us, who, and they made us as their tools to go and do things that they didn't want to do or they couldn't do. Now, the corollaries are rather interesting to think about. There's 4 trillion galaxies by current estimates. Each galaxy has on the order minimum 40 billion potential life in inhabiting planets. So the number of planets with life is astronomical. So we can assume that whoever made us made others. So we're not alone. So that's my assumption, right? And so I've got data that says we're a slave race. We were created by these people. There was a war. They went
so
away.
So we could have other people, so, like humans out there.
We can have cousins. Only these cousins may still be with the masters that created them. And so my original bit of insight that I kind of like is that we're the wild strain. We're the strain of plant that got chucked out of the greenhouse, got the absolute shit kicked out of it over the years, and still continued to grow. And my, isn't it marvelous, the genetics that it developed as a result of its experience. So I think we're very valuable. I think we're far more valuable. And this would explain a lot of weirdnesses relative to UFO stuff.
Because
right?
We actually developed into something, and now we're starting to figure ourselves out. Huh.
And it was never expected that the cast-off remnants that were left behind after the war would do anything other than die out. And then
we were just dumb animals.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. We were meat sacks that were doing what they were told. And so here we are, we're the wild strain. We've been left untended by the, you know, galactic master kind of thing all of this time. And look what marvelous creatures we are. Yeah, we got a lot of problems, no question about it. But we're our own masters. We've got our own grasp of our problems, and they're all within our own level of solution. And we don't need the gods anymore. Not because we are gods, but explicitly because we are not. Because we're the cast off, we're the wild strain, come on back. So my thinking is, watch out, cousins, here we come.
Oh, that'll be fun. How cool is that? To really learn what we really are. How cool is it? Okay, how can people learn more about you, although you're pretty known, although there's so many views, but get your reports. How can they get those?
Well, the reports now, bear in mind, are all crypto-focused at this point, okay? So that's really the focus on them. And you can go to Half Past Human and buy them if you're of a mind to get involved in cryptocurrencies and participate and learn stuff about them. And there's a little bit of the woo-woo stuff thrown in there because I like to let people know what I call the flow, the flow of the energies through the social order as it is predicted by my data sets, which turns out to be reasonably accurate. And it helps you think, oh, no, I don't have to panic now because this is a predictable drop. I can just sit back and wait, or maybe even buy more. It'll be going back up here in a little while. So the flow predicts that we'll leave 13,880 in Bitcoin and U.S. dollars to a Bitcoin sometime around the 11th of February to the end of February, in that like 15 days or so. And it's been predicting that for well over a year. And I've been talking about it for a long, long time. The fact that Bitcoin hit 20,000 doesn't invalidate that forecast, because we hit 20,000 and it came back down. And we've been bouncing around 13,000 and we'll continue to do so until mid-February, and then we'll take off on another big up leg.
And you think we're going to get to like 100,000?
Oh yeah, no question. We have to. If we don't do it this way, then what will occur will be, you know, $10,000 for a gallon of gas, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because I know crypto, people should know cryptocurrencies really are the future. It just is what it is. And it's more secure. It's all these things. But again, the whole tax thing will be, I just think tax, how is this going to, and how are governments, there's still some big question marks on how they're going to go about doing this. But cryptos are going to be it.
Or if the let's also back up and say that, you know, government won't exist as we understand it anymore. Cryptos are going to bring about basically a libertarian kind of a social order, and will pay for what is needed to be paid for in a much more transparent way. So the idea of government and the ability to do things to the masses of the populace without them knowing and all of that, it's all going to gradually sort of fade away. We'll have a big bloop of emotional angst as we go through a global white revolution against the industrialized masters that be. And then we'll start getting all this information coming on out. New devices will be made because humans will be fascinated by all of this, and they'll get an idea from reading about some space alien stuff that's been hidden in a hole in the ground, and then they'll go off and develop something entirely new that nobody ever thought of, and it'll come back in and it all starts springboarding. And so, you know, your kids are going to have an incredible sci-fi world to live in, but they got a few rough years ahead as we clean up a bunch of this crud, right? And how long that takes, right? And how long that takes is going to depend on how rapidly we deal with our pain. And so there's the truth and reconciliation approach that they used in South Africa. And I don't favor that so much, okay? Because it drug out the process for decades, it diluted it. It was not as emotionally satisfying to the South African soul, collective South African consciousness, as it could have been had they done it just like that. Brought it out, got it out, everybody suffered the angst, everybody shut down for a year. And then they would have been off and running. That's kind of what happens in a war. End of World War II, Germany is crushed, but you can't deny it. You're walking over piles of rubble to go and try and find food. There's no denying that you've been through a traumatic experience. And so you take it in, you absorb it, you integrate it, and then you go on. But this reconciliation, you know, now we need to bring back into our fold those people that have been, you know, out in the cold, right? That have been in the deep ops world for all these years, that many of them have done horrific things to protect the secrecy around the UFOs. They've killed people, presidents even. You know, Kennedy was killed because he was going to release the UFO information. And any other number of reasons that other people also piled onto it, but that was the core reason that got people motivated. And so we're going to have to reconcile ourselves to all of these people that have done very, very bad things and come up with some kind of mechanism to bring them back in to the social order, because many of them are still quite valuable.
Yeah, but what do we do about the people who do the satanic ritual abuse and stuff? I mean, there's some real creepy, screwed up people that we need to figure out just how to cut them loose.
Or re-education camps, that kind of thing, right?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, there are some that you know, we'll go through that. And then the process itself has got to be cathartic enough that the society can put it behind it. So there we see some of the examples of what occurs with the catharsis of as a war or natural disaster. You know, San Francisco is ever so much better after the earthquake and the fire than before. You know, new standards and new approaches to things. All of this, it was horrific. People died and everything. But the net result was sort of a good thing, right? And so World War II is terrible in many, many, many different ways, but it also did bring a revitalization to the peoples of Europe and the industrial economies and so on, which was hijacked by the EEC, but, you know, still, so as long as we're wary. But now we have things like the blockchain, which provides, you know, a trustless system that gets you around, provides transparency. We'll be able to see a lot of the funding, a lot of the non-productive assets that the government is paying for with all those missing trillions will become part productive.
Yeah, it
You
can,
know,
we can
imagine.
really, see, now that's one good thing, because
Exactly.
we can allocate things. If I want my money to go somewhere, I can allocate it to just that, and that's the only thing it can be spent on.
Right. And if you want to, you could say, I want to buy into that, Major Tom's expedition to Mars. I want to buy the Major Tom coin, right? And or I want to get, Elaine's coin here for hunting for asteroids that are, have got sunflowers on them or whatever the hell, right? You can support anything you want at that level. And that's how we'll end up doing it. And then at the time it comes, and then you get a big payoff. Elaine goes out there, she finds an asteroid absolutely jam-packed with sunflowers, converts them all to oil, brings all that oil back to the planet, and Elaine makes a ton of money, and everybody that bought the coin makes a ton of money. And so you'll take some of your Elaine coins, you'll buy a few tax coins, and you'll give them back to the government.
It'll be really interesting. Now, I think there's such a amazing things that we can do as we bring everybody into the fold and they can all get involved. And right now, so many people are squashed and not being able to be involved. I just hope this whole tax thing, because Alan Walensky, he was the assistant tax secretary under Bush. He came onto my show a couple times and he talks about how the laws are all done through taxes, because actually creating a new law is such a pain in the ass that almost all laws are done through the tax code. And so we have to have some major paradigm changes going on, and we need major paradigm changes, but we got to see how that it's going to be interesting. It will
It's
be
quite
interesting
fascinating.
for sure, because we know we're going to move to cryptocurrencies, because it's for all the
It can't be stopped now. For all the reasons. Right.
no, but we got all these other political, it'll be very interesting. But you are so amazing. I love talking to you. Just really revitalize me. So,
Big key forward. It's all that Aikido training.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
And everybody should look out for your Antarctica report. I'm definitely going to watch that. And of course, Half Past Human, and they can get all sorts of information on your cryptocurrency. So thank you so much, Cliff.
I'll talk to you next quarter.
Yes, next quarter.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.